Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal. I do believe we have both Cynthia and Janet on the line. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes,
so you
do.
Success.
It was funny, Cynthia, when I was trying to call you, someone must have been trying to call the journal because I got a busy number.
Oh, I was getting nervous.
It was funny. I said, sure, it would happen. Someone's going to call right when I try to call.
No.
Yep.
All right. Well, good morning. And let's go right to the front page of the paper. And, people say to me, Marshall, can't you cover anything other than the coronavirus? And I say, well, we do. We do cover the town meetings that are held and things like that. But just about every story involving every town some way connects to the coronavirus. And you have to keep reporting them.
I think that's what people really care about right now. Everybody's nervous about it. It's affecting everybody's lives. And actually, we're doing a lot of stories on the budget meetings, which are a huge big deal.
Oh, boy.
I think those articles are a little shorter. They're a little bit like, well, there's a Zoom meeting, and here's your budget. But it's not quite as extensive as it might be during normal times.
Yeah, it's so I just tell people, you have to go with the flow. We do the best we can do with what with what's out there. So
yeah, even a story on Ralph Nader's new cookbook.
Yeah.
It's also connected to COVID-19.
No, it's amazing. Everything is.
Everything is. It's easy. But since that's everybody's focus, it's probably unrealistic to say, let's not talk about it.
So we'll start off with the first story, and that is what I have been dealing with, a lot of calls and stuff like that. And the rumors, not only your story is the truth behind the Sharon Hospital COVID-19 rumors, but, of course, like everything else, the rumors that go with COVID-19 on any list of of things in our region, Cynthia.
There, I would say both you and I have been particularly dealing with the Sharon Hospital and Sharon Healthcare progression of events, which change almost daily. And every morning that I wake up and they haven't changed, I'm so relieved. So I think that for the last 4 days, we've had a pretty consistent message. So one thing people seem confused about is Sharon Healthcare is not connected in any way with Sharon Hospital.
Thank you. They happen to be across the street
from each other.
I've been trying to explain that. Originally, when it was constructed, many years ago it was, but not since 100 years, it seems. It's
right.
An independent. Athena owns the Sharon Healthcare Center.
And Athena owns many, many nursing homes all around New England, and had been in conversations with the governor. And one thing I keep hearing people saying is sort of an accusatory tone is, well, Sharon Healthcare volunteered to do this. And it feels a little bit like these bigger companies are in conversation with the governor, and they stepped up and offered some facilities, including reopening two facilities that had been closed, one in Torrington and the other one was, I think, in Meriden or Middletown. But Sharon Healthcare Center, a lot of people have been calling me and saying, like, can we stop this? Can we stop it from being a COVID facility? And one thing I keep reminding them is it's already a COVID-positive facility. There's already 8 people there who have it. So it's not
That's exactly what I've been saying to people. And can you stop the governor, who has an executive order privilege with what's going on with this emergency? The answer is no. If the governor and they think this is the proper thing to do, that's exactly what they're going to do.
And there's been a lot of conversation, I think, fueled by First Selectmen sort of saying, well, people are going to be moved out of there against their consent. And every conversation we've now had with officials who are working on this has been, if there's a worst-case scenario, it's possible that that might become an all-COVID-positive facility, and then people will be moved. But for the most part, what we're looking at is Sharon Hospital is right across the street. There are several patients there. Dr. Herko said last week they're getting one or two a day or a week. So those people, once they don't have to be in intensive care, they want to free those beds up for people who do need that more intensive level of care, but they can't go back to their nursing home yet. So how much nicer to be able to just move them across the street to Sharon Healthcare rather than have to move them to Torrington or Meriden or one of these other facilities? So that's what they're looking at now, is the second floor is going to be COVID positive, the first floor is COVID negative, and I think there's a section that's COVID unknown.
Yeah,
for now, at least, it is legally possible at some point, if in a worst-case scenario, they might have to move people against their will. But at the moment, right now, the way it's set up is if you're COVID negative and you don't want to be in that facility, you can move if you can find another place to go to. But right now, Gear and Noble have zero COVID positive. I'm not sure how they've managed to do that, but good for them. And actually, Kevin O'Connell sent out an email yesterday to the community sort of saying, you know, we're losing a lot of money right now. It's very expensive to have all the protective equipment that we're using. So for them to be getting the $600 a day per patient stipend might actually, you know, save them financially. And I think we all want Gear to be around. So we're keeping an eye on that story. We're trying to schedule an appointment with Kevin this week. But presumably Noble is having that same thought. And we're also trying to get hold of Bill Pond at Noble.
You know, the problem, Cynthia, with the state is that the numbers of senior citizens that are in these healthcare facilities that either have tested positive or are in the is right now, right, just a little under 1,000. It's between 800 and 1,000 that would have to be moved. And right now, when you add up all the places that are actually have the ability to accept patients, their total number is somewhere around 500 and some odd beds.
Right.
That's the problem that the state has right now. Right now, there's far too many people and not enough facilities.
Right.
And
they're opening these larger facilities elsewhere in the state. And at the moment, and so when we talked to Rob Rubo from Torrington Area Health District last week, the state was anticipating that last week and this week are going to be the peak, and nobody knows what the actual peak is going to be. We're trying to get hold of Rob on Monday morning just to see how that's looking, but we're hoping that it's not a continuing snowball avalanche of more and more people. And I think right now they're looking at worst possible situations, worst highest numbers, but at the moment they're not looking at turning Sharon Healthcare into a mash tent. Or the Sharon Field Hospital, likely to not ever need those 25 beds, but want to be ready for it. And we always like it when they're prepared ahead of time.
Yeah, the Sharon Hospital is a 25 bed outlet. It's like a gasket on a steam radiator.
Right.
It's there if it needs to be needed. But now,
thank goodness.
You do have one good story on COVID.
There's lots of good stories.
But the one really
happy
good
ones.
Story at the top on BD where. Once again, another rapid test has been approved, and their main company is going to be producing them.
Becton Dickinson, which is here in North Canaan, and of course is a really multinational company. They make syringes here in North Canaan that go all over the world, and they have the coolest plant. It's like a James Bond film. And I was talking to a young person the other day who said, you know, I wonder if at some point they'll have a test that you can get the results on so quickly that you can come into work every morning, get tested, and then people can either say, you know, you can come in or you can't. And I think right now that's what we're doing with thermometers. You know, they're checking people's temperatures, you know, at Le Bon's, as you'll see in the story inside. But so this is a super fast test they're looking at, which is 3 hours as opposed to the 3 or 4 days that it currently takes. And it requires a special BD machine that can do 24 tests simultaneously. But that's a really, as you said, that's a great good news story. And you know, we'd like to see something that's boosting a local company at this time when we're really worried about what's going to survive financially.
And when you tie that local company in with other companies that are making similar type of testing equipment, that's the thing that's going to get us all back to normal sooner or later, is when people can be tested. And then when they eventually have a vaccine, that's when we'll get back to normalcy. So all these stories really are the stepladder to defeating what we're all going through right now. But I do want to go on to the story, Cynthia, about Ralph Nader's new cookbook.
He's so funny. I just love Ralph Nader. He's one of our favorite. He's been a huge, huge supporter of the Lakeville Journal Company for many years, and we really love him for that. And if you've ever met Ralph Nader, he seems like, you know, he'd be this crusading, angry, super-focused person, and he's the loveliest, funniest person. He just is... he's quick, and he's lovely, and he's compassionate, and he really speaks from the heart. And one of his publicists for this book company called and said he had just done the Ralph Nader and Family Cookbook. And I think people tend to think of him as being more, people think of him about the carbs, but he's really been a crusader for healthy, nutritious eating for many, many years. And so he talked to me at length about his mother. And his father, less so, although his father, of course, owned a famous restaurant in Winsted called the Highland Arms, which served mostly American food. But he said, you know, at home it was primarily Lebanese food for dinner. And the mother was adamant that everybody was eating the same meal. There was going to be none of this, like, I don't like eggplant, and I want a special dish. Everybody ate the same thing, and everybody talked about the events of the day at the dinner table, which is a wonderful thing. And maybe that's one of the nice things about quarantine right now, is that we're all cooking at home and having family meal again. But the recipe is actually really good. And he gave a nice shout-out to George New James, and that's the other really famous restaurant right now in Winsted, is for many years New James Bistro. And George New James cooked up all of the recipes, tested them out, made them, you know, cookbook-worthy, and then cooked them all for the photos. And it looks really great. And, of course, so many people in recent years have loved that cookbook by Yotam Ottolenghi that has those luscious eggplants on the cover. And Ralph Nader's favorite recipe from this cookbook is the eggplant dish. So this article, like several articles in the last week or so, we didn't have space for it because the paper is very small. We're having less advertising than normal, and there's a lot going on. So we're jumping a lot of stories to our website, and we apologize to people who are unable to get fast enough internet. Do let us know if you're having trouble with that. But some articles are not run completely in the print edition. Some of them are being jumped to the website.
It's a situation that's evolving, and people will get used to it, and then get back to normal. I want to talk about, once again, U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal. Another Politico comes to our area, this time in Goshen, this time talking about COVID-19.
And coming by Zoom, which is, in a way, you almost feel like Chris Murphy and Richard Blumenthal have split the state up, because we don't hear from him that much. We hear from Chris Murphy a lot. Blumenthal, I think, maybe is in contact more with constituents in a different part of the state. So it was really nice to hear from him, actually. And I think maybe Zoom is a great way for our representatives to stay in touch with us, because they don't actually have to drive here. They can just phone in. And I'm sure they're all really, really busy, as so many of us are now, on multiple Zoom calls during the day. But he talked a lot with the 21 First Selectman town managers, mayors from Litchfield County, about what the federal government is doing, especially in terms of federal support. So, of course, those things also are changing all the time, but do read that article. And it's nice to hear from Richard Blumenthal.
And there is one funny story. I forget which town it was in Connecticut, but somebody was watching one of the meetings on Zoom, and they turned their camera on, and they mooned the first selectman.
Oh, no.
Like, well, that's the problem with Zoom.
The funniest things I saw. Sorry.
They just have to set – when they do these meetings, they have to set so nobody else can supply video, only the people that are hosting.
Yeah, and they need to be taught how to do that.
Yeah,
basically.
I bet they learned pretty quick.
Oh, I think so. I'll do it every time. Let's go to Nature's Notebook. Spring ramps, chicks, birds, and cows.
And so one of the nice things for me is, of course, people don't know this, but in order to participate in our weekly radio show, which I love, I come to our office here in Falls Village from my home in Lakeville. And it's really, I know a lot of people are out hiking and biking, and some people are out driving around. The roads, are still full of cars. It's really nice to go out and see that nature is still doing its thing. It's a little early, actually. And so in this week's Nature's Notebook, we talked to Jody Bronson from the Great Mountain Forest, Eileen Fielding from Sharon Audubon, and Tilly Strauss, who is a very interesting person. And I feel like some of her write-ups about what's happening on the farm are good enough to be in a book or a movie. But Jody talked about ramps, wild ramps, which are delicious and which are really popping right now. Eileen Fielding talked about the many, many birds that are back right now. And Tilly talks about her egg-laying hens, which she had ordered ahead of time, as many people do, and had posted a photo on Instagram of picking up the baby chicks cheeping in their little box from the post office in Millerton. But a lot of people are having trouble getting chicks this year. Tractor Supply, I think, is sold out really quickly. And a lot of people who normally would be selling fresh eggs, you know, local farmers, are holding on to their eggs so that they can hatch them. So it's if you see fresh eggs, we don't want to have any hoarding, but do support our local farmers who are still supplying delicious eggs for us. And we talked to Bob Lebon this week, and he did say one of the things that his suppliers are really marking the price up on is eggs. So we're looking a little bit at an egg crisis. And again, don't go out and hoard, because the chickens are going to be laying. But so Tilly talks about having her chicks who she is a little worried about, because the power went off in so many places. Her chicks didn't have their heat lamp on them for 24 hours, so she's hoping that they'll pull through, and I'm hoping too.
You know what I want to point out? There's two businesses in our area that were way ahead of the curve of everybody else. One is Bob Lebon and Lebon's, with the protections they put in, with what they did. But also, you have to talk about the Sharon Hospital. I mean, here you go. It's a remote hospital. And they've had COVID patients in there for weeks, okay? And as I was talking with Dr. Herko, they can't afford to make a mistake. And that's from everybody from the surgeons down to the people who help clean and stuff like that. They have all been out front. The Sharon Hospital was one of the first hospitals to prohibit people from coming in. So I just want to give a shout out to both those businesses. They really did lead the state in doing what they did to help keep that stuff out of their businesses.
Well, speaking of Le Mans Market, I had a long conversation with Bob Le Mans last week because he had checked in to say that they were going to start requiring people to wear a mask. Right. And I have to say, when I go to the grocery store, I'm stunned by how many people are not wearing gloves and are not wearing masks, especially in Connecticut. Like up in Great Barrington at Big Y, nobody had them on, but people were really angry and anxious. And it felt like if you're going to be that angry and anxious, you should wear a mask and gloves. But even here, like at Sharon Farm Market, which, you know, he offers them at the door when you walk in, you can just pick up a free pair of gloves and disinfectant. And at Stop and Shop, very few people are wearing them. And it really seems like, especially when you're around fresh produce, it'd be really great if we would all wear the masks and gloves. Yeah. But Bob Le Mans is requiring it. And when you talk to him, he's really anxious about it. And you find out why, which is his wife is a nurse working in the ER at Charlotte Hungerford right now. And he said he's never seen her so worried before. You know, as a nurse who's seen it all, after 35 years in the business, he said this is scaring her, and she's seeing these patients. And something I hadn't really thought about is if you're on a ventilator, you have to be put out because you have a tube going down your throat and you can't move it. And you can't, if you were allowed to, your instinct would be to try to pull it out. So these people are knocked out and they have to be turned every few hours by the hospital staff. It takes 5 people. So it's really an intensive, aid-intensive disease. And Bob said, you know, she sees what the lungs on COVID patients look like, and it's not pretty. So he's very anxious about it, and he's putting in place these, as you said, really progressive requirements. I fully support it. You have to get your temperature taken. You have to have a mask. If you don't have one, he was hoping to give them out, but they're so expensive because, of course, masks are in demand right now, so he's not able to give them out, but he'll sell them for $1, which is still a loss for him. So an article on that explaining what's going on.
All right. You know, taking a look at also, you know, you've got North Kane, the budgets are going to be posted online, Region 1 budgets. You'll be able to attend that meeting via Zoom. Doing things remotely is becoming a way of life for people.
Right. And I have to say North Kane is a little bit slower than the other towns. Most other towns are doing a lot of their town business by Zoom. North Canaan a little bit still not quite doing much of that, but we'll keep an eye on them. And then, of course, talking about getting back to normal, a guy went out, Ann Day's husband, Spencer Reese, was out taking pictures at Lake Winnanskapomik and caught a guy with a big monster of a trout because they did not want to have the first day of fishing celebration last weekend, which always brings a lot of people out. But people are allowed to go out and fish, and they are.
All right. I want to go on to COVID-19. We only have about 3 minutes left.
Oh,
I want to go on to the editorial page, Humans at Work or Not During COVID-19.
Right. This is the crisis for small businesses, which affects our local economy so strongly. We're trying to focus on a specific topic each week. And, this is a time when these small businesses are trying to apply or have applied for government support through the stimulus with PPP or whatever part of that stimulus they think will apply to their businesses. But many are either closed, half open, quarter open, or struggling to stay open and having to send their employees out, you know, into what could be at-risk situations, depending on what the business is, and that can be from our transfer station to the hospitals, as you mentioned, Marshall. The people who work in medical care right now are at the front lines, as we all know, and we're all supportive, but they're very much in our minds. Think about all those businesses who may or may not make it through this and reach out to them and try to find ways to support them. So that's what we talk about there. We have a great letter from Deborah Moore on questions about COVID recovery facilities. her letter also made it to the front page of the Torrington paper, and you know, she sent it to all the papers around, but she brings up points and questions that everybody wants to know the answers to. So do read through that and read the articles on our front page about both Sharon Hospital and Sharon Healthcare, and keep in touch and listen to what, you know, your local NPR station is telling you, too. Marshall is on top of this, too. And keep informed, and let's not panic, because when we say we're all in this together, that should mean we don't just want the people who are on the front lines to take care of it, but we all have to do our part.
All right. And I want, before we get to Compass, I have to mention the passing of Barbara Walker from PW Eagle Eye in Millerton, from complications arising from COVID-19. It's always a shock to hear somebody you know has it or has passed away from it, but condolences to her family.
And such an icon in Millerton, Main Street, BW Eagle Eye, and we have a wonderful tribute to her in the Millerton News this week.
Waiting for the obit from the family. We always say to people, don't rush on the obit. You want to get it just right, so we should get that in next week's paper.
All right, let's go to Compass for our last minute.
So very quickly, we are continuing to try to write articles about things that people can do at home to entertain and amuse themselves. Sophia Kaufman, and an interesting book about a woman who had been working in tech and her disillusionment with that. But an interesting review, thoughtful, from Sophia, who's always a thoughtful person. Noel Ambry writing about Netflix Party. There are lots of different ways that people can now watch a movie together using their computer. My daughter does it all the time. Netflix Party is one option. Noel points out some of the pros and some of the cons and explains more or less how to use it, so that's useful. And then Neil Gaiman, one of our local, you know, super famous, incredible writers who's up here teaching at Bard College, and they're doing free upstreams now at Bard of different events that they've done, including past talks by Neil Gaiman, including one with the cartoonist Art Spiegelman. He's got one coming up on May 2nd at 7:30 p.m. with N.K. Jemisin, who's really interesting. Young woman, black writer from Brooklyn, the greatest blog this woman's got, and that should be a very interesting conversation. So for details on that, do look at Compass this week.
And we remind people, tricornernews.com, and when you go there, you can also type in tricornernews.com/where-to-buy, and you'll find out the locations in each town that you can purchase it while we're going through the COVID-19 crisis.
That's right, or to subscribe. Our staff is working through this and certainly will help you subscribe if you'd like to, and that will get in as quickly as it can.
All right. Well, stay safe and stay healthy, you guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robin Hood Radio. You'll find them once again at tricornernews.com.